We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
Okay, go ahead, have a seat. Have a seat. Did anyone say they can name all 10 of the commandments? Anyone? All 10. And no one's raising their hand hardly because you're afraid I'm going to call on you. So these are my boys. This is Connor. That's when he was either junior or senior as a drum major. And this is Zach. That's when he preached here a couple last summer or summer before, I can't remember. And when I look at them now, it's hard to believe that there was a time they actually needed my help, because the only way they could get around was to either be carried or to crawl. You remember those days, parents, when your kids actually needed you to get from one place to the other? Well, if you were like me, when Zach and Connor needed that, they grew to a point to where they wanted to try to get from one place to the other by themselves, walking. Remember those days? And if you're, well, let me just put it this way. Somehow, Connor and Zach, well, they are just strong-willed, stubborn, I'm going to do it myself, my way people. I don't know where they got that. I'm sure from the grandparents. And so it was painful when they were trying to walk and they wouldn't let me help them. They wanted to do it themselves. They had the desire, but they lacked the strength or the ability to take those few steps. And as a parent, you had to sit back and watch them fall again and again and again. Those of you who are parents of the seniors, do you remember those days? Do you remember thinking like I thought, Russ, how much punishment can one person get falling down over and over and over before there is serious long-term damage, right? Anyone else? It is painful to watch as a parent because you know you can't really help them. It's something they have to do alone eventually. But if you're a good parent, you're always on the sideline and you're waiting. And Connor and Zach knew that whenever they fell, I was going to be there to pick them up. They would fall, I'd pick them up. They would fall again, we'd pick them up again. That's the joy of being a parent. That's the frustration of being a parent. And watching Connor and Zach grow up, well, I got a glimpse, a small glimpse, of what God must feel like when he watches us. So we're in this series about Moses, and I want to pick up the story when Moses and the children of Israel are at the foot of Mount Sinai. Now, they have left Egypt, they have gone through the Red Sea, God has now led them to the foot of Mount Sinai, which literally translates to the mountain of God, and there they made camp. Now, it's interesting They get to Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19. They don't leave Mount Sinai to Numbers chapter 10. For those of you who are keeping score, that is 57 chapters. They are parked at Mount Sinai. 57 chapters of God giving the law to the people. Most scholars will tell you they were there for a full year without breaking camp. And what I've discovered, it was at that mountain that God chose to reach out and to help his children walk because they needed help. For centuries before, his children would, well, he would watch as they fell down again and again and again. But he never left them. And he decided then, I'm going to give my children something to help them make it, to help them walk. 57 chapters later, the people of Israel were given the law. Now, this gift that God gave was really one of the greatest acts of love God has ever given. I imagine most of us don't think of the Ten Commandments or the law as an act of love. I imagine most of the seniors, when your parents gave you curfews, rules, guidelines, restrictions, I imagine none of you thought they were doing it out of love. I imagine if you're like most kids who grew up in those environments, there were a lot of things whispered under your breath, behind closed doors, that your parents never heard. But when they set those rules, those guidelines, those directions, they didn't do it to punish you. They did it because they loved you. And they wanted to help you walk. And as Leah said, to help you grow. Now, we as Christians, we sometimes misunderstand the purpose of the law, the reason why God gave it. God gave the law not as a way of salvation. No one really believed that if they kept every letter of the law, they would be saved. God gave them the law to begin a special relationship with his children. Now, if you were paying attention to the Ten Commandments as they were being read, what you heard was, you heard the original King James, you heard a different translation, and then finally you heard the Message, which is a paraphrase. But what you might have missed was the opening words, Exodus 2. And if we don't get Exodus 20, verse 2, if we don't pick up that, we miss the entire reason for the Ten Commandments. Here's what it says. God begins the entire conversation by saying, I am the Lord your God. The key word on that is your. If you're one of those people who underline in your Bible or circle, that would be what you would circle, because that is the most important word in the entire book of Exodus. Because what God sets up right there is this covenant relationship. He says that I love you so much that I'm going to enter into a personal relationship, and before I even give you a commandment, I will be your God and you will be my people. That's what he says. Now, to understand the power of that, we have to understand what a covenant relationship is. Covenant relationship is one of the most important theological bases that I have. If Richard was to look at my credo, my 30-page paper that I wrote in seminary, he would find three threads running through all 30 pages. There would obviously be community talked about, and there would be grace. But underneath it all is this idea of covenant. And we could spend hours talking about what it means to be in covenant. And maybe Rich will let me teach a class on that in fall on a Tuesday night on covenants and the importance of covenants. But this morning, we only have time to talk about covenant in the way that they were preserved. You see, in the ancient world, whenever a covenant was made, there were always two copies. If Justin and I entered into a covenant, we would write down two identical copies. Justin would keep one, I would keep the other. And we would have it available to read privately and to read publicly. But when God made the covenant with the children of Israel, he chose to do it differently. There were two copies. But he said, you keep one and you keep mine. Now, remember when Moses walked down the mountain, he had two tablets? This is what most people think the two tablets were. Five on one, five on the other, right? If that's what you think, you need to get that out of your head. It was 10 and 10. And what God said is, I want you to have my copy, and you take my copy of the covenant, and you put it in the Ark of the Covenant, so that every time you see it, you will remember that I am with you. See, that's why God gave the law. When a Jewish person sees the Ten Commandments, they don't see a bunch of thou shall nots. They see the Ten Commandments and they are reminded that God is with them. When your parents set rules, it wasn't about thou shall nots. It's about reminding you that they are with you. That when you fall down, they will pick you up. Some people wonder why I love the law. Some people here wonder why I love the book of Leviticus. That's the reason why. Because those 57 chapters, including the 27 chapters of Leviticus, when I see them, I don't see a bunch of rules and restrictions and thou shalt nots. I see a promise that God made to me, that he is with me, that if I fall, when I fall, he will pick me up. That's why the law is so beautiful. That's why it's so cherished. That's why I love Leviticus. Every time you see the law, every time you see the Ten Commandments, it's not about rules, regulations. It's about the relationship with God and the promise that God makes. Just like this table. Every time I see the table, I am reminded that I am not alone. Every time I see the bread, every time I see a cup, I hear the promise that God makes that I am your God and you are my people. And I am reminded that no matter how much I fall, God will pick me up. In a few moments, you're going to see some bread. And you're going to see a cup. And you're going to hear some words. Because what we remember are the words that Jesus spoke when he took bread, broke bread, and offered it. And said, take, eat, for this is my body broken for you. And then he gave a piece to everyone. And when everyone had a piece of bread, he took a cup. And again, he gave it. And he said, take and drink. For this is no longer just fruit of the vine. This is now my blood poured out for you and for many, so that all your sins may be forgiven. Do this and remember me. And so when we take the bread and we share the cup, we are reminded that every time we fall, God will pick us up. So when you come down and someone puts the bread in your hand and you dip it in the cup, I think if we're real quiet, if we really listen, we just may hear God say, I am your God, and you are my treasured possession. For that's the good news. That's the gospel. I'm going to ask that Rusty and Barbara come down, and all those who are going to help serve. Barbara's going to break the bread, and they're going to serve those who are helping to serve. And as they do that, I just kind of want to go over the rules and the regulations. I don't really know any. I think there's one rule. If you're here today, you're invited. You don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to be United Methodist. You really don't have to be a member of any church. If you're here, you're invited to come. And the way we do this is real simple, is there'll be four stations, and you'll go to a different station, and the ushers will direct you. And when they do, someone's going to hand you a piece of bread, and they're going to put it in your hand, and they're going to say something like, this is the body of Christ broken for you. And then standing right next to them will be a person with a cup, and they're going to say something like, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. And you'll take the bread and you dip it in the cup. And here's the only rule. If you accidentally put the bread in your mouth, don't take it out and dip it in the cup. United Methodists do not double dip. Someone will give you another piece of bread. I guess there is one rule. And then we have another tradition here, is we leave an offering, if we desire, at the altar rail. And all that money, none of it goes to the budget, but it all goes to help others who are in need. So if you have the desire to do that, feel free to. And if you're gluten-free, those ladies down there are the gluten-free group. Okay? The invitation's been given. As you come forward, listen. Maybe you'll hear it. You are my God, and I am yours. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day might be like if you lived it believing that? I think you'd have a good day.